last week or last month we talked about Jesus' resurrection and how important it was for us. Because without Jesus' resurrection, you know, his birth, his life, and death wouldn't have meant anything. But it's because he resurrected that then allowed for us to recognize that he truly was the Son. He was who he said he was. But also it gave us a foundation to really build our lives on. And today, I want us to look at our spiritual resurrection. Because it's important for us to recognize that, you know, we're in this life and, you know, a person is dead. You can't do nothing. If you're a dead person, you are trapped. Your situation is what it is. There's nothing you can do to change it. But, you know, there's things in this life that can keep us down. That can keep us from moving forward. And that really could keep us off track. You may be on this life, but you may be dead right now. And spiritually, we cannot walk in this life being dead. It does us no good. And so today, I want to talk about four things that can really help us have a spiritual resurrection and come back to life and come back to really the only thing that matters in this life. And that's being a follower of our Father. And ultimately believing in his Son. But the first thing that we have to do is the first thing we all have to do. We have to be born again. We have to make that commitment in this life and then take a life in this and then walk this life to the best of our abilities without sin in it. Turn over with me to Romans 6. Start in verse 1. You know, there's so much confusion at the end of Romans 5 that, you know, there's a question that gets asked here about between this and grace. So look at verse 6, verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin." So we see, brethren, that we've made, you know, everyone in here has been baptized at one point in their life. We've made a commitment in this life, that this old way that we had been living, we're done with. We're not going to continue in this old lifestyle. Think about the things that you were doing before you made this commitment. How were you walking? You might not have been the friendly person that you should have been. You were living in things that were part of our innate nature for some reason, in which we struggle with the eye, the lust of the eyes, and lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Were those things controlling you prior to you making this here this commitment? You know, this old self that we once knew should be gone. It should be gone forever. This old self is not something that we should be walking around still living as part of. As if we're wanting to go back. Because a spiritual resurrection means that you've changed who you are. You have destroyed that old self. And that old self is to never to come out again. Let's start in verse 8. It says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And to sum all this up, don't let sin control your life. Your old self is the one that was controlled by sin. Your old self was the one controlled by an earthly mindset. Your new self, this resurrected person, sin is out of it. Don't let it control your life, because what you're ultimately doing is going back to becoming the old person. The old person that should be dead. The old person that shouldn't even be coming close to walking in your mind. That's pushing you forward. Because if that's going to end up pushing you forward, then sin is going to eventually control you. And you're going to be, as we talked about at the beginning of this, a dead man. A spiritual dead man. And one that will die in his sin, and one that will not be spiritually resurrected in the end of this life. So number one, the four things that we can do to have a spiritual resurrection. The first one is be born again and make sure that we do not become having a life with sin in it. Focus on a life without sin. The second thing that we can do to really have a spiritual resurrection is find joy in following God. Each and every one of us should be enjoying our lives with God in the forefront. And if you can do that, the joy in this life will be astronomical. And you'll have a spiritual resurrection every day because of the joy you have in it. Turn over with me to Psalm 16. We're going to read the whole chapter, starting in verse 1. It says, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, 'You are my Lord. I have no good besides you.' As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever." Finding joy in following God. Look what David says here in verse 11. In your presence is fullness of joy. You see all around us in a lot of walks of this life, those in this world, they try to find joy in things, in people, in popularity, whatever it may be. They're never going to find it. Because true joy in this life, and from a spiritual resurrection that we need to get back to, is having God in the forefront. And really enjoying following him. Find joy in doing things that's right for God. Turn over with me to Jeremiah 15. Look at verse 16. You know, we read a verse very similar to this in Ezekiel. Verse 16 says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." So if we're going to have a true spiritual resurrection, if we really want to get back to where we want to be, following God and finding joy in that is what we should all be experiencing every day. Think about how it does make you feel great when you do what's right in the sight of God. How good does that make you feel? It's a great feeling because knowing that you have taken His words, you know how to establish that in your life, and you lead your life through those things. Go over with me to John 15. Look at verse 10. It says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." There is no doubt that in order for us to have a spiritual resurrection and to really get back to why we've committed to God in the first place, we've got to find joy in His words. We've got to find joy in following Him. And we should be finding hatred in not following them, pain when we don't follow them, and really punish ourselves mentally when we don't. And if we don't focus on what we're doing in this life, and if we don't put our mindset on those things, our mind will start allowing us to do things that we don't find joyful, but we do it. And it's against the Word of God, and then your life gets taken away, and it gets taken up by something that you don't want it to be taken from. And I can tell you now, brethren, that the only way we're ever going to have joy in this life is if we really focus on following the Word of God. You know, we're talking about resurrecting today, and it's really resurrecting your life, and it's your soul, it's your mindset, things that we can do to go back to the way we felt when we first became Christians. You know, we made a choice that this old person that we used to know no longer going to be in our lives. And we're going to mature to where we have a life that we don't have sin. Doesn't mean there won't be past times that you're going to stumble. But you got to get there. And then you got to find joy in following the Word of God. There's so much joy in it. And I know it makes you feel great when you do what's right. And it should make you feel bad when you don't. That feeling is what you want to recognize and what you want to remember when you're about ready to commit to something that you know is not right. Because as soon as you commit to it, you feel nothing but regret. And sometimes that little bit of pleasure is so short-lived. A couple seconds, a minute, doesn't take very long, and then all of a sudden regret comes in, and you spent all this time and all this effort trying to follow God, and you made a commitment to stumble for something that a lot of times is a very short amount of time. And it's nothing but regret and then sadness in the eyes of God when you do that. Our third thing that we should really focus on is the regeneration of our minds. And basically what I mean is that, you know, that old mindset that we had, you know, that solution that we know what's right, that our minds are always focused on that. That we need to take our minds and we need to set them back to the way they were from the day that we committed to being Christians. We have to regenerate it. You can't go around with your old mindset in this new way of thinking of being a follower of God. No. Your mindset needs to be focused on the truth, and it needs to really be focused on making sure that it's in the right framework that God would have it to be. So as we're thinking about a spiritual resurrection, let's regenerate our minds. Let's focus on what it means to be a follower of God. Turn it with me to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Let's look at start in verse 24. I'm sorry. I'm in Matthew 20. I knew something didn't seem right. 23. It says, "And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, 'Then who could be saved?' And looking at them, Jesus said to them, 'With people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.'" Look at 27. It says, "Then Peter said to him, 'Behold, we have left everything and followed you, and what then will be there for us?' And Jesus said to them, 'Truly I say to you, that you have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or farms, for my name's sake, will receive many times as much, and you will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Look at 28 again. It says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Truly I say to you, that you have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne.'" Now, why do you think he led into this verse, in this conversation? If you look at the previous three verses starting in 23, you know, the disciples are somewhat confused here, trying to figure out, well, who could be saved in this life? Jesus wants them to understand, those that follow me, those are the ones that can be saved. The problem is, though, is that you get caught up in this life. You get caught up with family, with friends, with wealth. And that it causes your mind to lead you in the wrong direction. But Jesus wants us to recognize, do not do that. Give up those things. And when you committed for the first time to being a follower of God, that's the same commitment you were willing to do. I know for me, without a doubt, when I made a decision that I was going to be a Christian, I was putting my best foot forward, and I was going to live that way. But you know, things happen in this life. Within a couple of years, I'm in college, and I feel like I'm God's further and further away from me because I'm so focused on my education. I'm so focused on spending time doing those things. I'm so focused on anything except God. Well, I had to have a spiritual resurrection to get my mindset back. We all need to make sure our mind is regenerated. And we're in a life where the Son of Man is absolutely going to save us all if we're willing to follow him. And our mindset has to be in the right frame. Turn over with me to Titus 3. Here in Titus, you know, you can see that there is, you know, this zealousness, but you also see that there's some forgetfulness here. And if you look at chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers." So you see what's happening is that they're forgetting that they're still walking this life. And there are certain things that we're going to have to do in this life that still shows obedience to God. And verse 1 says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceful, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once we're foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice, in envy, hateful, hating one another, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. You know, you see here that we all have to be reminded of things that we have to do. The Word will remind us of that. But going back to the purpose of when we first committed in this life, you know, our mindset was different. When we first made a commitment to be Christians, we were probably at our strongest point initially, and that should not be the case. We should be at the starting gate at that time. We should be at our strongest point right now. You know, we go back to Matthew, you see what Jesus is telling them to give up. Family, brothers, sisters, anybody, give all that up. Because it's not going to mean anything if everything in your life is controlled by those things. And specifically, your mindset. And so we need to get our mindset back to that first point of our salvation and where our focus was. And if we do that, our spiritual resurrection is going to go back to the way it was when we first committed to being Christians in this life. And then finally, have your heart in it. There's no doubt that if you do not have your heart in being a follower of God, you're going to have a problem in this life. Because, you know, for me, I think about, you know, I hate to use the gym scenario, but I love going there. I was there at 3:30 this morning. How many folks you know will go to be at a gym at 3:30 in the morning? I love doing it. But that same mindset is also the way I feel about God. I love following God. My heart is in it. And every day I try my best to focus on that. You know, a lot of people, I'm not advocating for this person at all. But every so often I listen to Billy Graham's lessons. You know, I disagree on some of his viewpoints, but I'm not even going to talk about that. But one thing I'll tell you that he does, he's a very good motivational speaker. And when he talks about God, he really does a great job of making him hit your heart. Because what his mind on focus is for you to have your heart in his lesson, in his message. Well, that's the same thing that we need to have in the Word of God. We need to have a heart in it. We actually need to want to do this. For the gym, I want to go. I want to do it. That's the same thing for you and I. We want to do this. We have to do this. Is it going to work? We're going to want to do this. Anything that you want to do, you make happen. If you have to do something, you usually just don't do it. I mean, unless your parents is telling you, you have to do this, or you're being forced to do something. Anything you have to do, when you're on your own, if someone tells you, well, you have to go to the store, now you might go. You might take your time out. But for the most part, if you have to do something and you don't want to do it, you usually don't do it. Turn over with me to Jeremiah 29. Look at verse 13. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. It says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's our expectation. And if all our heart is seeking and searching after God, this life is going to be so much easier. And it's going to be easier because stuff that happens in it doesn't matter. None of it matters. Because we know things happen for a reason, happens for a purpose. But ultimately, the life after this one, we're going to be living it. And it's going to be one that we're going to enjoy and that we're going to want to be part of. You know, we go to Matthew 22:37, says, love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You know, Jeff had a lesson on that here recently. You know, that same teaching can also be found in Deuteronomy. It's not a new teaching. Jesus didn't tell them something new. It's always been this teaching. He said, all you have to do in this life is have your heart in this. Have your heart in it. And, you know, we talked about the mind. Well, we all know that the mind is controlled by your heart. Anything that you love in this life, you do anything for, you dedicate yourself to, you are 100% going to follow it throughout time. The problem is we go through this life and our heart gives up and it decides, I want to put it towards something else. You think about marriages that don't last. When those marriages first started, they were not like it was at the end. They were different. But what ends up happening is that the folks grow apart. Their heart goes against each other. They don't have the heart to continue. That's the exact same thing that we can have with God. Is that when we first get committed to this, our heart's in it. And then just like a marriage, all of a sudden it splits up. We got to start focusing on things in this life. And if that ends up happening, then Matthew 15 explains to us why. What could end up happening to each and every one of us? Turn over with me to Matthew 15. Look at what the heart's part here. Look at verse 6. It talks about this honor of your mother and father. It says, he is not to honor his mother or his father. And by this, you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. The 7 says, you hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines their precepts of men. You know, every one of us can come together, we can present that we're worshipers of God. But at the end of the day, if our heart is not in this, then we're not doing anything. We're not doing ourselves any justice. We really have to make sure that we're focused here in this life, that our heart is in this. And, you know, the whole purpose of this lesson is for every one of us to have a spiritual resurrection. Time for us to wake up, come alive, and recognize what we were and who we are today. Are they the same? If not, then we need to recognize what we were at the beginning. You know, at the beginning, we're baptized. We make sense of this, of God's word. We're committing to it. What are we saying? Old self died. New self's coming to life. We need to go back to that. Our old self needs to die. Our new self needs to come to life. We also found joy in following God's word, in recognizing and committing to it. We regenerated our minds to where we're changed it. It wasn't this old person that we once knew. We need to do that again. And then finally, our heart has to be in it, and it always has to be in it. And I think that's the most important thing between all of them, because our heart will drive every decision that we make from here on out. This life has ups and downs, and you know, we had a series of lessons that I started back in December to really help us to recognize and see that this is life. Everyone's gone through this. 200 years ago, they went through it. 1,000 years ago, they went through it. Everybody from the beginning of time, from day one, has gone through the same thing that you and I are going through today. Ups and downs of life. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we doing during those ups and downs? And are we truly committing to God and his word? And are we truly living a life that shows that we are committed to it? And I'd ask you to check to make sure that is your heart truly in this. Don't second guess yourself. Because if it's not in it, change it. Spiritually resurrect yourself. And you can do that today. Right now, you can go back to the way you were when you first committed to being a follower of God. You know, if there's anything that we could do, you know, we're always here to help each and every one of each. You know, our goal is to get everyone here to go to heaven. That's the goal. And I hope this series of lessons have been a benefit to you guys. I know it's helped me. But the one thing I'd ask and help you recognize as we think through this is that just remember that every one of us here is only here for a short period of time. The place after this one is not short. It's forever. And the way you live and the how you live your life here dictates that. And, you know, we see that there's older folks around us that, you know, they're suffering with the decay of the body. Man, these bodies are meant to decay, but our spirits are not. Let your spirit come back to life. Go back to the way it was when you first committed. Change your life back to the original form and live the rest of your life with that mindset. And I'm telling you, it's going to help you every single day, no matter what you go through. If there's anything that we can do to help you change, please come forward together and stand the same.